there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. My passenger today is one of the UK's hardest working comedians who literally, and I mean literally, plays all over the world. You can catch him in a town near you on his brand new tour, Family Friendly Comedian. Please put your tray tables up for Paul Chowdhury.
This is the final boarding call for Paul Chowdhury. Paul Chowdhury, please come to the gate. This is the final boarding call for Paul Chowdhury. Paul Chowdhury. Paul Chowdhury.
Paul Chowdhury.
Thank you.
Welcome on board, Paul Chowdhury.
Helen Carr.
Hello, you.
I've known you since day one.
When did we first meet? It must have been Edinburgh, was it?
I can't remember. I remember when you started. I'm such a dinosaur.
Oh,
I know everyone since day one.
Come off it. You're not a dinosaur. Where was it? Because we were on the same circuit, weren't we? Really?
Yeah, we did the comedy circuit together. Then we were on the uni circuit together. And obviously Edinburgh Fringe. And yeah, I've known you since the beginning, mate. I've seen you go from that first act to this superstardom.
Well, you're not wrong. I am a superstar. And that's...
You know what I mean?
I haven't changed, have I, both physically or facially?
Well, you were a superstar at the beginning, but nobody else knew it yet.
Oh, my God. Paul, I'm going to cry. This is so sweet. So tell me then, what are you like as a traveller? Why do you travel?
Well, mainly we travel for work. You see, that's the thing with us comics. We probably travel more than anyone else in the world.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on motorways, lorry drivers and comedians.
Yeah. People don't.
They don't see the real glamour in it, stuck in a service station with a Greggs pasty.
Trying to kill time until 8 p.m.
Yeah.
What about when you kicked out the hotel at 12?
Yeah.
And you got hang around till 8, and then I walked around Norwich and then you died of exposure because it was like, honestly, I was like, you know, when your lips are stuck to your gums.
Yeah.
And I thought, I need some vitamins. I need some vitamins.
So what we could do is pay an extra day at the hotel, but we're tight bastards.
Yes.
So why pay for 4 more hours when we can walk around the town like the homeless?
Yeah, I know. And if you sell a few big issues, you make your money back. You're international, aren't you? You tour everywhere. Tell us some of the most amazing places you've toured.
Oh, man, I've been... You know, most of these countries I've been to, I would never have gone to if it wasn't for stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I think we're blessed with the gift of giving laughter to people, which takes us to places we never even dream of visiting. I've been Trinidad, Tobago, South Africa, Germany, America, the Middle East, which I think I'm now banned in for certain reasons.
You're banned.
Well, I did a special for Amazon Prime a few years ago, and we did DVDs before with Universal.
You were
the same label as me, and the DVD gets released around England. You don't worry about it, but with the streaming services, it has to get passed through lawyers to hit different territories. So some material doesn't pass legal.
I never thought of that. Of course, yes.
So my Michael Jackson stuff got banned in Germany because you can defame the dead in Germany, but you can't defame the dead in England.
Oh.
Which is why we do so many Jimmy Savile jokes. And that's the beauty of England. We can rip the shit out of the dead.
Yeah.
But you can't in other countries.
I never thought of that. That's so interesting, isn't it? Mm.
And then the stuff that got me into trouble in the Middle East was I did a lot of stuff on the Taliban. And I think they thought, maybe this isn't for the Middle Eastern audience.
Now, you're not going to cause trouble on this podcast. I don't want a fatwa.
This could be, you could become the new Salman Rushdie.
God, I don't want to be cancelled. Not again.
Well, if you're cancelled by the Taliban, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you want to be sort of cancelled by them. You don't want them going, hey, I agree with what you're thinking, Alan.
Well, there's
Carr.
A market. Yeah. If you want to get Taliban gigs in caves, there's a market there. But then it depends what you're playing to. Yeah. You want to get cancelled by the mainstream. You don't want to get, the mainstream is the big market.
Yeah.
The brown pound or the pink pound. Those are the areas you don't want to get cancelled.
So where in the Middle East have you played?
Well, I actually do a lot of corporate gigs out there. I just, you know, I do, you know, weddings, birthday parties and stuff. And I'm the entertainer at these Asian weddings sometimes.
And they have big weddings, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, big weddings. I don't know if I can say this, but I did Shilpa Shetty's 40th birthday in Montenegro.
Oh!
I did that. Performing on a rooftop for her birthday party, and her close friends, and Gopi Nduja was there, the richest man in England. At the time, he's not the richest man.
I never get invited to parties like this to perform.
Well, I bespoke the event. I write the material about them. And there was no Jade Goody material, but just keep stay clear of that stuff.
So tell me, what's your biggest luxury? When's the last time, it can be a hotel, it can be a resort, that you've gone, wow, Paul, you have made it?
It's probably anywhere in Dubai.
Yeah.
Now, you go to a dump in Dubai and it's like a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like... Everywhere is a 5-star hotel. And I went to a 4-star hotel out there recently.
Oh, my God. Poor you.
It was horrific. But it wasn't horrific to our standards here.
No.
But over there, you think this is a dump because you're used to marble floors and marble toilets. And
proper luxury.
Marble bidets. But you go anywhere in the Middle East and it's an extravagant island full of luxury items. And you think, you know, you come back. And
do you love a bit of luxury?
Yeah. You know, I'm a bit of a queen when it comes to those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, your house is a proper fat yard, rude boy. You know what I mean?
I like a bit of marble. I've got some lions in the back chained up.
Yeah. I came in and I thought I was in a rapper's house. I thought this was MTV
Cribs.
That's
because I just had some bitches on a dog lead. And I am wearing a lot of chains.
You've changed, man.
Bent. So come on then, tell me a holiday you've been on which it hasn't been the best. And we're not country shaming, we're not slagging people off. I'll give you a really good example. I use this all the time. Amanda Olden, she went to Cyprus, was caught in a mini tornado. That's not Cyprus's fault, I'm going back there. She fell off a jet ski second time, broke a leg. She went, you know what? I've had enough of you, Cyprus. Is there anywhere like that that you've been? We're not shaming anyone, or maybe you didn't go down well, or maybe you got food poisoning.
So many. When I was young, when I was young, family trips in road journeys and trips when you were a kid, they were the most traumatic, I think, because you didn't have any control on life and it was you were being led by your parents and you'd end up, Lake District was a big one in the early 80s. And in a bed and breakfast. Bed and breakfasts in those days were bed and breakfasts.
Yeah.
It was a bed and breakfast. In some
it was like a cornflake, one of those mini little bits of cornflake, weren't it? They'd throw them at you.
Yeah, and then when you're an Indian family going to the Lake District and you're the only Indian family out, it's like everyone's looking at you, especially when you go to certain towns in the country in the 80s. Like, you don't get it. It wasn't very multicultural back then, was it?
No.
It was very white man territory.
Did you get any jip or any racism?
Oh, yeah. Oh, what, back in the day?
No, I mean, when you're in the Lake District.
I don't know if you got jip, but you could just feel the difference when you left London.
Yeah, it's a feeling, I suppose.
You get that feeling. You know, like gay people have a gaydar?
Yeah.
Asian people or ethnics, we have a racedar.
Racedar.
Yeah, where you can feel the racism.
Yeah.
You can almost feel the homophobia sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know what these people are thinking, but they're not going to say it.
No.
So you just feel the tension in the air it creates.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's horrible.
But... You know, do you still find that now? You probably don't.
Well, me, I mean, I think I'm too gay sometimes. I think, you know, like when you're really fat and you stand on some scales and it goes round second time. That's what my gay does. Like, I think it goes back round just straight. I think it just pushes the needle round a bit more.
Well, that's the thing. You do, you know, you're an ex-boxer.
Yes. Because you Thai boxer.
Yeah, Thai boxer. And... I remember back in the day, the stuff you'd tell me about your life and the stuff you went through.
Yeah, badger baiting and...
I thought this guy... I thought you were just doing an act.
No, that's me.
I thought you were a character.
No,
and you're a straight guy.
I tie kick. I've got, you know, I've married two Miss Worlds.
Yeah. You're a hard bastard, man. I mean, I remember when I met Alan, I thought, this is a guy you don't want to mess about with. He'll kick the shit out of you. You're a hard bastard. And he's got the physique of a Thai kickboxer as well.
Thank you. That's very kind. So tell us, will you try local delicacies?
Yeah.
And if so, have you ever had brown rain, trotty botty, the shits?
Well, when I went to the south of France once, I think I was with my mates and we just carried on eating this dish and they were like, what is it? It was like meat on the plate and I was carrying eating this. It's carrying eating. They didn't tell me until I finished eating the dish. And
what was it?
It was a cow's tongue.
Oh, no.
It was the tongue of the cow.
Oh, why would you eat that?
And I finished it. It was quite nice, actually. It was quite nice, but they didn't, because they stopped eating. And I just carried on. And at the end, I said, what was that then? Why did you stop eating? And it was a cow's tongue. Because some parts of the world, they eat every part of the animal.
Yeah, I know they do. Yeah.
And it's
cow's
a delicacy.
Tongue?
The tongue. In France, that's a normal dish.
Yeah, they don't like cows or ducks over there, do they? Because you have like duck. Mm. Is it duck tongue? Can you have duck tongue? I don't know. But was you sick or was you actually enjoyed it?
It was all right, yeah. It was really nice, yeah. It was the first time I'd golfed with someone for a while.
Hello, sir. Can I get you anything off the trolley? Panini? Pretzels? Bit of tongue? I have to ask.
Are you adventurous when you go on holiday?
Yeah, I like
to. Do you scuba dive? Do you go skiing?
I'm not much of a scuba diver because I can't swim.
Oh.
So I watched Jaws when I was a kid and that kind of put me off swimming.
Oh, same
so.
As me.
Do you remember that?
I watched it when I was eight with my nan. Yeah. She thought it was a good idea to watch that as she was babysitting. And then, oh my God, really? Or I even think there's a shark in swimming pools.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I saw that James Bond one. Is it Live and Let Die? Where the grate comes up and the shark comes
out of the swimming pool.
And I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm not... Yeah.
It got better with Octopussy though.
Yeah. Always does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of Octopussy. Octopus is a great dish, though, if you go travelling. It's not very big in England.
Octopussy? Or octopus?
Well, just the octopus, not the octopussy.
I was going to say, what bit are you eating there, love?
Yeah, that's the bit they eat in France, the octopussy.
I might go down on me food.
It's taken a turn.
So tell me, where's a place that you would really love to go? What's on your bucket list? Because I think you've been everywhere, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much been... Where do I want to go? I mean, that I haven't been to. Probably some... remote desert island somewhere that's populated by locals that haven't evolved into human beings yet. But then you're afraid. Because you remember there was the thing where they flew a plane over an island and you saw these
and
tribes.
They throwing them, what's it called? Javelins.
Yeah.
They've never met Westerners before.
Well,
anyone.
Civilly outside of that territory, they were still wearing, you know, tits hanging out. Bollocks out and a little rope around.
You sure there wasn't Canvey Island you've flown over?
I think that was Ibiza. Yeah, what are you flying over us for, mate? Yeah, bollocks, piss off, you slags. That's probably what they sounded like.
Yeah.
Don't come to what? If you come to our country, you might speak our language. I wonder what it's like, though. We'd probably get murdered there, actually. I would say if we went there... wearing these clothes and speaking
like... Well, I'm not going. Why are you dragging me in?
Well, I think you should come with me. I'm not going on my own, am I?
I'm not going there. So you'd like to do a gig there to, like... Is that Papua New Guinea, isn't
it? Yeah, somewhere like that. Doing gigs to locals is where the challenge is. Because a lot of us go to do gigs. I went to Hong Kong. The last time I went was with McIntyre. And we were performing in an Indian restaurant. It was an expat gig, though. So everyone's local.
Yeah.
Local.
And does it translate your stuff?
Well, they weren't local. They were expats working in banks there.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So when myself and Michael McIntyre were on stage, it was like they just... It's just like performing in London. So there's no challenge.
Oh, I see.
So when I go to South Africa or Trinidad, or I went to Trinidad literally like a year or two into my career, and there were 20,000 people in a cricket field. And I performed to 40,000 people in 2 days. And over here, I was performing to like 100 people. So it was a real, like...
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was... It was a tough gig. Yeah, that was when, you know, before Rihanna really even turned up.
Yeah.
She probably was at the gig. She was probably at the gig at the time, because literally the whole of the island turned up and watch you do stand-up.
Cool, though, isn't it? Now, this is a new... I'm going to say this is a new part of the podcast. I've never done it before, because I've just come back from Iceland. Have you ever been involved in a natural disaster when you're away? Because I was in an earthquake two days ago.
What happened?
The bed shook.
Well, who was in your room with you?
Well, no, I was by myself.
Really?
Yeah, and there was an earthquake at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, and it woke me up, and I thought, oh, my God. I thought, I must remember this for my podcast, because sometimes when you travel, have you ever seen a volcano?
When I did New Zealand, I went past the volcano, which hasn't actually erupted yet. They're afraid of it erupting.
No, as it erupted, it's natural disaster. We've all been past a volcano, love. Get with it.
Yeah.
No, I know I'm being facetious, but I mean, have you ever been there? Have you been in a flood?
Have I been in a flood or a tsunami or a natural disaster? No, I don't know if I have been.
Have you been in an earthquake?
Have I been in an earthquake? No, I seem to...
There was the one in Birmingham. But then that's...
You know, we have more hurricanes in England than anywhere else in the world, but we have mini hurricanes. You know, when you see little bits of rubbish, look, we have more hurricanes in England than anywhere else on planet Earth, but they're mini, they're tiny.
Bollocks. Yeah. That's a hurricane. That's when you see hurricane. A Quavers packet going round.
That's a hurricane, a Quavers hurricane. Yeah, it's a hurricane.
Is this a wind-up?
No, seriously, it's a fact. More hurricanes are in England than anywhere, but we have mini ones. We don't have massive... We don't like a twister in America. We have
imagine people driving following that. Quick, get in the car. There's a Quavers packet going down the high street. Yeah. Oh my God, it's like that film Twister.
Yeah.
This is a message to all our passengers. Can you please return to your seats and pop on your seatbelts? This Boeing 747 is about to be diverted due to Hurricane Quaver being in our flight path. That's Hurricane Quaver. If you could please return to your seats and pop your seatbelts on, that would be very much appreciated, as Hurricane Quaver is giving off a lot of turbulence. Thank you.
Tell me, are you a complainer if you go to a hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I look for the hair in the bed before I get in it.
What, like four in the bed, that one, when they...
Yeah, and then you say, excuse me, there's a hair in the bed. What are you going to do about the bill? You know what I mean?
Because you've got a beard there, will you take a bit of your hair out the beard and place it there to try and get money off?
No, it's normally a long blonde hair, but then you've got to carry a long blonde hair everywhere.
Oh, right.
But no, normally it's like, it's not my hair, because it's too obvious if it's my... You can't turn up what you...
Well, my hair is... There's going to be a time very soon where I won't have any hair to pull out to try and get money off a room.
If there's an issue with the hotel room, you have to complain, I think. But British people, we either complain too much or we're like,
oh, let's not make an issue of this. Let's just,
you know, some of your mates are, oh, no, let's, in a restaurant, there's a hair, just don't mention it. It's going to be really awkward. Yeah. I'm like, no, mate, there's a pube in the bed. You know what I mean? You got to just be straight with them.
Yeah, but I'm. Let's not cause a fuss. I'm that person. You see, we can't really. If we go on a cruise again, we're going to be arguing.
Are you the guy that's? Oh, just leave it.
Just leave it. Oh no! Don't.
I'm like, what?
I mean, maybe a pube.
Yeah.
But I mean, something's a bit cold, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you try and get a discount.
No, I just put it in the microwave.
What? There's a microwave in the room.
No, I'm in the restaurant now. Where are you?
What? Oh, I'm still in the room. I'm
talking about cold food in a restaurant.
When you'd go into
the... No, I won't put it in the fucking microwave myself. I get the waiter to do it. It's not self-service.
So don't worry about this. I'm not going to complain. Then you'd walk into the kitchen with the dish and stick it in the microwave. No, and come back.
No, I would not.
But what's Alan Carr doing in the kitchen?
Yeah. Have you ever holidayed with a celebrity?
Well, just trips with comics, really. And I wouldn't... Well, loosely, we'd call that a holiday, because a lot of us didn't really go on holidays for the first few years of our careers.
No.
We'd just do stand-up, literally, until we drop dead.
Because that's what Billy Connolly says. He says, you know, for him, he just loves sitting now. I mean, he says, our job was to travel and we go to hotels. So it's hard to differentiate what is a holiday and what's not. And it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes I'm on my tour now and I'm going, you know, you're going to Northern Ireland and Belfast. You're there. You're still in that airport lounge and you see people and have got their Costa Rica guidebooks that get in the Mozzie Guard and you're only going 45 minutes the other way and you're a bit like, oh. Is that...
It's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So do you have a holiday for fun?
Sometimes I just stay a couple more days after the gig and turn that into a holiday. So
you're a workaholic, Paul.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, like a staycation. Like, you've done the gig and then you're like, I might as well just stay in this hotel for a few more days. And then you just stay in the hotel doing nothing and there's nothing to look forward to in the evening. So it's a pretty shit holiday.
Oh, my God, this is the most depressing episode of Life's a Beach. Life's a beach.
It really is. It really is, mate.
Oh, come on. Some holiday must put a smile on your face. Come on.
I haven't really, I don't think I've actually, apart from when I was younger, I'd go to America. But then now when I just go on holiday, then I end up just doing a gig somewhere. So I'll go to America. I think, all right, I'll go and see some mates who are comics or something or family. And then last time I went there, and I just ended up doing all the clubs in New York. And then I just ended up on stages. So it just turned into a gigging holiday.
Oh, well, I suppose that's all right.
And in America, they give you like $20 to do a gig.
And where do you go for sexy time? Tell me a romantic place.
That I've taken a woman to.
Yeah.
I haven't, I don't think. Probably just down the local kebab shop. So, probably the Middle East.
You take them to the Middle East. Whereabouts in the Middle East?
Probably Dubai or something.
Oh, that's always nice, yeah.
Yeah. And that normally leads to a breakup. Whenever you take someone on holiday, it leads to a breakup. It's either make or break, isn't it, in a relationship?
What are you saying? What?
Like when you take someone on a holiday, it's either make or break.
Yeah.
You're either going to stay together or that's it, done.
Yeah. I think you can, I think it's when you go with friends, it's a real... It's a real test of your friendship when you go on holiday in it with your friends. I suppose it's with a partner as well.
Yes, you've stuck to them like glue, aren't you? You're spending a lot of time with this bastard.
Have you had any travel mishaps? What are you like? Do you ever forget your passport? Have you ever done that comedy thing where there's your pants and your socks going around the carousel? I know it's only meant to happen in sitcoms, but I have seen that. I mean, it's not been knickers, but it's been like a shoe.
Well, it's like a handle, isn't it? Rod Gilbert used to do the joke on it, didn't he?
Did he?
About the handle. And then he saw it going around the first few times, he laughed. Yeah. And then he picks it up. Remember that joke? That was one of his first signature jokes. It's kind of the joke that made him, and then it was his handle off the suitcase. But he was...
Oh, God! Has that ever happened to you?
That's everyone's worst nightmare, isn't it? Especially for us, turning up at a gig, and it's got all our... costume and, you know,
we wear
extravagant costumes on stage, you and I, and all the tiara and stuff, and it's gone missing.
It happened to Tom Allen, didn't it, on the way to San Francisco?
Did it?
Yeah, he said on here, and his clothes went missing.
And then what do you perform in? And the toiletries?
Oh, no, we all need to moisturise before we go on. We're not getting any younger, are we?
I've got like three faces because I've got a hairstyle, then I've got a beard style, then I've got a face style. And it takes a lot of work to look this bad.
Yeah. How long? Because I've got no testosterone in my body, so I can't grow a beard like that.
Well, you've got a lot of testosterone. You've actually got very high testosterone.
How do you know that?
Because if you have a receding hairline, it means you have really high testosterone.
Oh, well, that's a fucking shit sandwich of a compliment, isn't it?
Well, just do what I do and just get this from Turkey, mate.
Is that a weave?
No, this is actually my hair, but I've taken some.
I was going to say, if that's a weave, it's a good weave.
The producer's trying to work it out now.
Stop staring! It's really rude.
What you can do is you can get Propecia, which is finasteride, and it makes your hair grow back.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Because my friend had it's done then. But they take the hair from the nape of your neck, don't they? They put it there, but that bit's gone white, and that bit's gone. His fringe looks like a zebra crossing. It's like black, white, black, white, black, white. It's
just
like a barcode.
But you want to, I haven't had a hard on in 20 years. But
hey, I'd rather have a limp dick and great hair. I'd rather have a perm than a limp dick. Now, are you a culture vulture? Do you go to museums or you're like, nah, you're all right?
I did live in Rome for 6 months and then I lived there again for another month this last year.
Oh, wow.
I was doing a drama called Devils with Patrick Dempsey.
Oh, yes! Yeah.
So I was a regular actor in that. But I lived in Rome next to the Vatican City for 6 months. And Rome is it's a tough place. It's a nice place to go and visit. And I did all the sightseeing, Colosseum... Yeah. Vatican City, blessed by the Pope kind of thing.
Yeah,
pretty much every tourist thing I did in Rome,
yeah.
I bought a cross from near the Vatican.
Oh, that's nice.
I became, you know, I was going to get baptized. Did some exorcisms, that kind of stuff.
You see, you start telling a story and it's like, and then it just becomes, and I'm like, how much of this is true?
Why does everyone say that to me? Yeah. I get this every day. Yeah. My life is so unreal that people think it's not real. Yeah, you know, actually, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you know,
you're doing gigs for the Taliban, getting exercise, yeah. Meeting up with the Pope. Yeah, yeah. I believe all of it.
My life is, it's just a difficult life.
How crazy do you go on holiday? Have you ever skinny dipped?
No. Well, firstly, you know, when you drown, you don't want to drown naked.
No.
Because then it's going to be pretty embarrassing.
And that will be your ghost, won't it, as yeah. well? When you come back, you will be haunted naked.
It's like... I'll come back to your bonnet naked.
Yeah, oh, my God.
But then...
Why didn't you die in a car crash?
Yeah, fully clothed.
Fully clothed with an airbag.
Yeah. That's how they say you want to wear the best boxer shorts when you die. And
yes,
best underwear.
Yes.
It's like when people...
That's why I'm never naked in bed at night, just in case there's a fire. Honestly, it's just like, at least I've run out of my pants, at least, you know...
Dick hang flapping about and shit.
Yeah, well, it'll be tiny because I'll be in Propecia.
Yeah.
No one will see it.
Yeah. Or what about when celebrities were doing this asphyxiation thing? You remember that?
Oh, yes, with the orange in the mouth.
And they did choke themselves to the point, and apparently when you pass out just before the climax...
Yeah, you're meant to have the best orgasm ever.
Unfortunately, some of them died in the process, but they're just found with an apple in their mouth and their pants around their ankles.
Yeah.
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 Everyone's
sort of...
Is it worth it, do you think?
Don't look at me. I don't do anything like that.
Is it worth a try, do you think? I've never tried it.
Why don't you try it?
Yeah, but what happens if I don't make it? Then you're going to be talking about me next week. It was on my podcast last week.
This will be fucking evidence.
This would be...
Oh, God. Imagine this transcript being read out in court.
We refer to the Alan Carr podcast for insurance purposes. I don't know if it covers life insurance, does it, asphyxiation?
No, I don't think. I don't think it's an act of God either.
No.
Now, as we start our descent, make sure your tray table up.
Yeah, yeah, the tray table is up. But why I've got to move that seat back 3 inches?
Yeah, you need to put that forward.
Well, put it forward 2 inches, because if the plane goes down, that 2 inches is going to make a massive difference, isn't it?
Do you believe any of that? You know, brace. Do you reckon that's... They say that's keep your mouth covered, isn't it, for dental records. Is that true?
Oh, really? So they can identify you?
That's what I think, but I don't know if it's bollocks. Do you reckon it's true?
Yeah, because before they land into the ocean.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're not landing into the ocean, are they?
No.
They're crashing at high speed.
Listen, people might be listening to this on a plane journey.
No, that's
can you
true,
just
yeah.
try and be a bit more upbeat, love?
The worst people are the ones who clap, aren't they, when it lands?
Oh, I know, that is like, come on.
Imagine you were going out with someone and they started clapping when it landed. Would that be the biggest red flag?
Yeah, you would know, yeah.
Yeah. It's time. It's just the holiday's not working out. But we just landed, yes. Just, we're done.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing.
Okay, here we go. You ready for the quick fire round?
Yep.
Amazon Hike or Amazon Prime?
Amazon Hike or Amazon Prime?
Would you rather sit and watch a Netflix box set, or would you want to get out there and go and look through the jungle?
Through the jungle.
You want to do that?
Find Tarzan.
Yeah.
The one white guy there, who's the king of it. Was the one white guy the king of the jungle?
Oh, yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, you see.
It was proper racism, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting indoctrinated by this crap.
Yeah, we used to think, the king of the jungle is some white dude that just turned up from France.
St. Ives or St. Lucia?
St. Lucia.
What if you go against St. Ives?
That's probably too white for me, to be honest. I'm not sure. I wouldn't blend in too well there in St. Ives.
First aid kit or first aid shit? Do you take your Mozzie Guard, your Mozzie Net? Do you take plasters, paracetamol?
Yeah, I take all that stuff. In fact, I get stopped by the drugs team. I take so many drugs with me. I've taken every vaccine, everything.
You got to be careful. The amount of travelling you do, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you take so much, you know, and when you go to Australia, because it's hard to get drugs from, legal drugs parts of the world, especially America, and we have the best NHS, you know, we get it for next to nothing.
Yeah.
So I take it out there and sell it.
Full English breakfast or full moon party? Did you rave up?
I love a full English breakfast, veggie one. We have the best breakfasts in the world, I think. Yeah. There's nothing like a full English breakfast it's the best, and it should be available 24/7. There are some places that, when they say, "Oh, breakfast is finished," why?
Yeah.
At 12, what? It's breakfast. Should be available all day.
Yeah, it's like a big meal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a proper big meal, yeah. And you'd rather be eating that at my age anyway than going to the moon.
It's not the moon, it's the full moon. Oh, forget it.
Oh, full moon party.
Local delicacy or give me a Mackie D? Are you a vegetarian?
No, I do eat everything, but quite veggie. But
For a health thing?
I do eat everything, though, yeah. I do like to experiment with the local cuisine. It is dangerous, because if you go to some parts...
Well, you had a cow's tongue. What am I thinking about? Of course.
Exactly. That was a long time ago. But, there were some dishes in some restaurants, which apparently there was a fish thing that was so... If it wasn't cooked at exactly the right temperature, some kind of sushi dish, wasn't it, in Japan, that it could kill you.
Jonathan Ross was on a previous podcast, and he was sliced 6 courses of puffer fish. Right. But you have to cut it so... And if it goes near the gland, it can be poisonous. Yeah. Wow. And then tip them or fuck them. Do you give good tips or do you think, ha ha, never seen you again, bye losers?
Yeah. When they add it to the bill, then you're like, it's already included, but it's discretionary. But when they add it to the bill, you're like, I'm not going to pay any more for this tip. But when they don't add it to the bill, you probably end up giving them more. But that's the gamble they're taking, thinking, well, we're not going to get tips, so we might as well just charge them anyway. Yeah. But I think the bastard's already charged me. You ain't getting a penny more than this because we've already put it on the bill. Yeah. And it's normally 12.5%. When it should be 10%, but then you'd probably pay more if it wasn't there in the first place. But then in America, it's rude not to tip. Over here,
oh, the tipping in America's too much. Try and find a sun lounge. You got to tip the man for getting a bloody sun lounge. Why are you here? Get another job. He's standing around. You got to give him a bloody dollar. Mm. I don't mind giving him the dollar, but why are you here?
Yeah.
What is the point?
It's like
the scene. Why have I even paid for this holiday if I have to do everything myself?
This is like the beginning scene of Reservoir Dogs. Mr. Pink said that.
Did he?
You remember? You remember he said, I don't tip. What do you mean you don't fucking tip?
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's this whole... That was one of his iconic openings, written by Quentin Tarantino.
I know. All right, don't patronise. Have you enjoyed flying Alan Air?
Alan Air's been good. It's just as good as Ryanair.
Well, on that note, fuck off the plane. No. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that end. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for flying. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then when I walk past, they just nod. Another fucking wanker didn't say thank you to me.
Well, you know what I read in a book once, that how they get revenge in America, you know, like the cabin crew. You know, when they go around with the bin bag.
Yeah.
You're trash. You're trash. Your family's trash. You're trash. They're actually saying it to you.
Yeah.
Quite a clever idea.
Very therapeutic for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they hate us a lot.
I know. We are scum.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. And can I say thank you for flying Alan Air? If you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star review. And if you hated it, well, you're still here. Go on, do one. Get out of my plane. And remember, live the beat.